Our first portion of our scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. This can be found on page 115 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. The second portion will be read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3b to 13, and can be found on page 174 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And continuing with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning the second portion of verse 3. No one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we gather as followers of Christ. We gather to worship God and to learn to follow Christ more closely. And today we continue our focus on intentionally pursuing discipleship. The truth is, in our culture and circumstances, it's not easy to live out faith. when the popular view of religion is negative, amid the choices and myriad of calls on our time, amid realities of everyday life, it's difficult. It's difficult when bad things happen to good people. We're not always sure how to articulate what we believe, and sometimes we're not really sure what to believe. It makes following difficult. But the truth is, living faith has never been easy. Discipleship has never been easy. So thank God we don't have to do it alone. God accompanies us through the presence of the Holy Spirit and provides us with a community of faith so we might be able to live as disciples. Pentecost gives us a better understanding of the Spirit and the body of Christ. That means about God in us. God's Spirit came not just in one way, not just on one day, but in many ways, in many times. Today, through the children's story and the two scripture, we encounter three stories of how people experienced the Spirit in their lives. Luke tells us of the Spirit coming with sound and light effects, immediately empowering disciples to do new things, to follow God in new ways. John tells us how the Spirit came as a sigh, as Jesus breathed on his disciples. And with that same breath, he stressed the role of forgiveness as they breathed out and spoke to others. In Corinth, Paul stressed how the Spirit gifts believers so they might work towards the good of all, how the Spirit continues to make all one body, all one in the Spirit. Now I confess, at some times in my life, I've wished for that dramatic moment. I wonder if you have too. That moment when tongues of fire come rushing in and the wind sounds, but I've not had that experience. I've not seen that happen in a congregation other than with crepe paper. I've never spoken in English only to have Spanish or Russian come out of my mouth. Can you imagine if that happened right now? I wonder how many of you would understand what I was saying. But it would be chaos. Can you imagine the noise, people talking, things happening, rushes of wind, babbling, surprise? It does sound rather un-Presbyterian, I fear. But I also suggest that we need to understand that the Spirit is often pictured moving in ways not just in the sound and light, but ways that disturb us, that challenge us, that challenge disciples to move out of their comfort zones. That is much more important than sound or light effects. The coming of the Spirit was essential for the birth of the church. As disciples move from following the man Jesus to the risen Christ and then to following the way of the Spirit, the Spirit of God didn't just come that once, but continued to be poured out through time. Jesus' closest friends and disciples were ordinary people, much like you or I, called to cooperate in Christ's mission in the world. As followers, they sometimes got things very right and sometimes got things very wrong. They continually encountered change. They were pushed to change themselves. After the crucifixion, they had to deal with monumental changes. They had lost their friend and their leader. All they had worked for with Jesus seemed to be destroyed. All their dreams were trampled. They scattered. Some returned to their previous occupations, like fishing, afraid for their lives. When they got together, it was behind locked doors, confused by the way that things had changed. Confused when they thought that all they had learned about discipleship in those years with Jesus seemed irrelevant. They didn't know what to do. At first, the risen Christ joined them from time to time, but after he ascended, his appearances stopped. Again, they had to learn a new way of discipleship. They were moved out of their comfort zone, so they only had been in for a couple of months. For this, Jesus told them they would need help, so they should wait for the Comforter to come. So it was that the group were gathered. They gathered in their belief and needed help in their unbelief. They were afraid for their lives. They were confused and unable to see a way forward. They were separated from outsiders by a locked door. They were unaware that God's Spirit was even then hovering over them, as God's Spirit hovered over the deep before creation. And then God's breath was breathed into them, just as God breathed life into the first person. God breathed life and purpose into them where all they thought was dead. And the disciples saw they were not to be imprisoned by their fears and doubts. They were to continue what they once started, but not in the same way. They were to build on what they had already learned so that they could show God to the world in ways that others might come to know God's love through them. As they burst from the room, they were given the tools they needed to include others, to form new communities. They were given gifts to share and instructions, how to be one in the Spirit, how to forgive, new words to speak, new ways to promote understanding. They were given the Spirit, not just once, but to continue with them, to comfort, to guide, to teach, to help them navigate change and the challenges that were yet to come. And the challenges did come. Together, they would learn a new way of living together. And so the Christian church was born and continued in the power of the Spirit and continues today in the power of the Spirit. But the real miracle of Pentecost, the real miracle of the Spirit, is not in the sound and light. It's not in feeling Jesus' breath breathing over us. It is seen in the lives of real people like you and like me. It was seen in the real lives of the disciples, of those who had argued about who would be greatest, about who was closest to Jesus and who was most important. It was seen in the lives of those who had disagreed with each other about the meaning of Jesus' teaching, in those who fell asleep when Jesus asked them to pray, in those who abandoned and denied him. The miracle is that the Spirit revived a room of well-intentioned bumblers, transforming them to show the world through forgiveness and love that God was with them. To show the world in how they treated each other and how they built lives trusting God, that God was for them, that God was working in the world. The church became known not for who they kept out, not for how pure they kept themselves, but who they accepted and who they integrated. It grew by changing to adapt to new situations and conditions as the Spirit led. Pentecost happened then, and it continues to happen now, and it will happen again as God's Spirit breathes new life, encourages, challenges, and transforms ordinary people, people like you and me. Today, I think we are a little more like those well-intentioned bumblers than we care to admit. At times, like the first disciples, we are confused. We are confused by declining attendance in church, by the many different ways that others follow God. We are confused and reluctant to change. We don't want to burst from our locked room and move out of our comfort zones. The good news is we don't do it alone. God's unpredictable Spirit is present with us today, enabling us to be disciples. As fear of change embraces new and living ways of following Christ, we see the Spirit's presence. We see the Spirit's presence not just keeping the things the way they are most comfortable, but in changing in response to new cultures, new conditions, new ways that God is working in our midst. We see the Spirit working not only as the world is transformed around us, but as believers, all believers, as you and I are transformed and changed, as we are transformed into who God intends us to be. Like the early church, we are called to a life of change, a life of challenge, to be aware of where the Spirit is leading. All of our experiences, all of our past faith, all that we have learned are to be built on in the Spirit's power so that we can witness to God's love and grace in ways that make sense today. As the Spirit breathes into us and through us, we are given what we need to live out faith, to be disciples. The Spirit comes in different ways, providing what we need to show God's love and grace in our midst and in the world. And we are given clues to help us recognize the Spirit moving around us. Some of the ways it looks like believers who seek help in their unbelief rather than in proving and impressing others with extreme devotion. It sounds like words of encouragement, words that bring love and life rather than divisive words. It looks like outsiders being embraced and included in meaningful ways. It looks like room being made for young and old. It looks like gifts being shared for the good of all. It is then that we know the Spirit of God is breathing as people like you breathe in and then speak out to share God's love with others. The Spirit is moving in that place. As forgiveness is offered for what it seems unforgivable, the Spirit is hovering there. Or reaching out to someone you had meant to walk away from, or walking towards unity rather than contributing to divisions. It is in these things we see evidence of God's Spirit moving today. It is in these things that God is made manifest in the world. When the Spirit is moving, it looks like communities reaching out together to do justice, to show mercy, to walk humbly with God. Not just taking God to others, but helping others to see that God is already with them, to see the clues of the Spirit hovering over them, to be ready to receive the Spirit. As the early disciples discovered in bursting from their safe place, in taking risks, in inviting and fully accepting others, in changing and being responsive to the changing conditions around them and in them, over 3,000 not just believed in one day, but were added to their number. They were cared for and they knew about God's love in community. It could happen again. The question for us today, perhaps, is, are we ready for God's Spirit to change us so it can happen today?